Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
Things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides. Lord's name is anointed. The Holy Spirit was poured out on him for powerful ministry. And every blood-bought child of God, every Christian, every one of us in Christ has the anointing of God. We have the anointed one living inside of us. Christ in us through his Holy Spirit. Now the prophet Joel said long ago that the day was coming when God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That was realized at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Long ago, when a prophet, a priest, a king was installed in office, oil would be poured on that person. And of course, the Holy Spirit had been poured out like oil to anoint us for service and life in the kingdom of God. The anointing is the power and the presence of God. Now, it's common in Pentecostal circles to associate the term anointing with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, all Christians need more Pentecostal power. I need the Pentecostal power of God that I might live victoriously and do God's work his way, laboring not in my own flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's more. Look at the context of 1 John today. The anointing is connected to teaching the truth. And that is a big part of the Lord's work. Truth. To teach us, to guide us into truth. And do we ever need that today? But long ago, the early Christians were confronted by false teachers and false teachings. John called them antichrists. They were opposed to Christ, hence antichrist. And they were opposed to the Christian faith. And things have not changed. The world is still opposed to Christ and the Christian faith. That should not surprise us, for Jesus said if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And the world, and even certain segments of the church, are promoting all kinds of ungodliness and falsehood and untruth. We need to remember that in this world, we have the Spirit of truth within us. We have the anointing. And if we are led by the Lord, we won't be led astray into falsehood. We will recognize ungodly and immoral teachings and behaviors for what they are. That's where John is going with this in our text. Christian, you have it. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He is in us. Now, I don't need to tell you, but I'll tell you anyway. We're living in a time when truth has been turned on its head. Good has been called evil. Evil is now called good. We are living in some very confused times, and we need to live in the anointing of the Lord. We cannot depend on mere ability or natural talent or personal charisma to stand for truth in these perilous times. If you're a Christian, you have it. I'm not saying you'll ever sing like Sinatra or ever shoot hoops like Michael Jordan. But I'm saying that as a Christian, you have something even better, more powerful. You have it. You have the anointing. Now, I mentioned that the anointing is connected to truth. I want to mention specifically two examples of some popular teachings that have come to me lately that I've been made aware of that ought to cause red flags to go up in any Christian. Now, one of those popular teachings, and it's out there even in the church, is the teaching of the Judaizers of long ago. Those folks long ago emphasized, and they still do, the law of God. In the early church, there were Judaizer Christians that wanted to mix law and grace, mix it all together. And these folks believed and taught that it was necessary for Christians to adopt Jewish customs and practices, especially in the law of Moses. So in order to be saved, you had to believe in Christ, the Messiah, but you also had to obey the law of Moses. We still encounter that today. This past week, I've been dialoguing with a man who lives up in Athens, Georgia. He has right now we're not going to heaven because we are worshiping on a Sunday and on a Saturday. He thinks we're all hellbound as Presbyterians. And because many of us eat pork, well, that just seals the deal. And because many of us believe in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, that God is one, revealed in the three distinct persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, well, we're just a bunch of heretics. But you have people who believe that, and more in the church, we are finding people who are attempting to mix law and grace, like the Judaizers of old. And the fundamental issue and problem here is that these folks are interpreting the New Testament in light of the Old Testament and not the other way around. And so that's going to lead to all sorts of strange beliefs. So that is one example of false teaching. And the anointing we have, when we hear that or encounter that, the flag should go up and the bell should go off. Falsehood. Falsehood. Let me give you another example, and it's very popular in much of the church today. I'll call it the hyper-grace movement. The hyper-grace movement is the opposite of legalism I just talked about. The hyper-grace movement says that God loves you, God loves us, He's graced us, you've got your ticket punched for heaven, so you don't need to focus so much on holiness and living under the lordship of Christ. It's all about grace and grace and more grace. Hence the term hyper-grace. Folks who have been caught up in the hyper-grace movement have very little to say or place very little emphasis on holy and righteous living. But to believe in hyper-grace and to downplay lordship and holiness is to be way off course. For the grace of God that has saved us, Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, the same grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It is the grace of God that teaches us to live for God. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you have it, the anointing of God. And when you encounter false teachings as John encountered antichrists long ago, when you encounter, whether it's hyper-grace or legalism, whatever it might be that is out of line with the Word of God, you will recognize it for what it is. And so I want to say again loudly and clearly, you have it. The it factor is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it is ours under the new covenant. And the Spirit of God is up to so much in our lives. It's the Spirit of God who brings Christ to us. It is the Spirit of God who is producing fruit in our lives, who empowers us to live the Christian life. And it is the Holy Spirit, His anointing, who teaches us. And His teaching is in line with the Word of God. Indeed, His teaching is the very Word of God. That is why when you encounter falsehood, you can recognize it. You will know it because you have it, the anointing of the Lord. That comes by virtue of being in Christ and having Christ in you. So I want to encourage you this morning to go with it, to flow with it. The anointing will never lead you astray. Worldly charisma can lead you astray, but not God's anointing. As you live your life grounded in God's Word and God's Spirit. Let me share with you something I heard as a Christian long ago, as a young Christian. Somebody said long ago that if you have the Word without the Spirit in your life, you dry up. The Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If you have the Spirit of God without the Word, you blow up. But if you have the Word and the Spirit operating in your life together, you grow up. Isn't that good? Let me say that again. The Word without the Spirit, you dry up. The Spirit without the Word, you blow up. But if you have the Word and the Spirit together in your life, we grow up. My friend Christ, you have it. We have the anointing of God, so be taught by that anointing and live into it. Now John goes on in our text to urge followers of Christ to abide in Him. In other words, find your home in the Lord and not in the world. There are a lot of folks who visit the Lord once in a while, but they abide in the world. And John's saying, don't live in the world. Live and abide in the Lord. We are to find our home in Him. Spirit. You have the anointing. Now we can hinder his work in our lives, as I said, if we ignore him and live more in tune with the world and its standards rather than the Word of God. By the way, that's why we have Sunday school here at First Church. Here comes the commercial message. If you're not in a Bible study, get into a Bible study. If you're not in a home group or some kind of home fellowship group where the Word is being studied, I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to be making a big push in the coming months. We'd love to see every member in a Bible study class, a Sunday school class, or some other kind of class throughout the week. It is so important. The church is to be a schoolhouse. This is where we come to worship God, yes, to grow in discipleship in the Word before we go out into the world to share God's love and to be people of mission and service. Notice that the anointing is connected to teaching the truth in our text. In John's day, there were the Antichrists, people who denied that Jesus had come in the flesh. There were Judaizers and other false teachers. And all that and more confronts us today. We need to be grounded in the Word. We need to live into the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. And that leads to application. Where do we go with this text this morning? First of all, let me encourage you today. Remember your anointing. When you were born from above, when you were born again, now Presbyterians like to say when you were born from above, Baptists will say when you were born again. It's the same thing. When we were saved by grace through faith in Christ, He came to live inside of you and me through the Holy Spirit. He entered our lives. And one of His purposes in our lives is to instruct us and to teach us. So don't forget, you've got it. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the anointing. Make use of that glorious anointing. And as you do, you will be able to more and more distinguish between truth and falsehood. So remember your anointing. Second, can I encourage you to remain teachable? Don't be like the guy that I've been dialoguing with who denies the Trinity, who says Christians must not eat pork, and who believes that to go to heaven you have to trust in Christ and obey the Mosaic Law. This man is closed to hearing the truth. He ridicules the truth. And friend, that is a dangerous place to be. All of us, pastors included, need to be teachable and be taught by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So the second, remain teachable. Third, let's abide in the Lord, not in the world. Abide, make your home, find your home in Christ. John says, so that when He appears, not if He appears, but when He appears, you will have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. No shameful shrinking allowed. We do not want to shrink shame when Christ comes again. So as we abide in Christ and make our home in Christ rather than the world, we will be much better able to live right, to live under His lordship, and to live righteously, which John says is one of the evidences that someone has been born of God. So my friend, I'm going to break some bad news to you right now. You may never sing like Sinatra. You may never have the silver screen charisma of John Wayne. But know that you have something much, much better. You have something extra special within you. You have the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. So remember that. Be humble and teachable. Be taught of the Lord. And abide in Christ, as you remember that we are not our own. Christian, you've got it. And to that, would you say, amen? Let us pray. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. But today, we thank you especially for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing that is ours in Christ. We thank you that we can tell truth from error. We thank you that we can live righteously. We thank you that we can live grace-filled lives. And we can live righteous lives. All of this and more because of what you have lovingly done for us. Lord, help
And now, here's a recent pastoral pondering, a message from Reverend Dr. Michael Scott Luckey.
Greetings from not-so-sunny Florida. Hey, I've been thinking lately about some things in life that really amaze me. And there are quite a few things that I find just worthy of marvel and amazement. A starry night sky. There have been some nights out in the country when I've looked up at the stars and they've been so bright and so close, could almost pull them down, it seems. And I'm just amazed at starry night skies. Lately, I've been reading about some 3D printers, and you're probably familiar with those. They can print car parts and even body parts and more, prosthetics. They're just amazing what that modern technology and these 3D printers can do. I'm amazed lately at some of the driverless cars. They're still working out some of the bugs, but now you're able to drive a car without driving the car. That's amazing. There are things that amaze me about the Earth. Do you know that right now we are spinning about 1,000 miles an hour while we're here on Earth? And at the equator, it's about 1,000 miles an hour that we are actually spinning. And not so fast at other parts of the world or in other parts of the world. But if you're at the equator, you're spinning about 1,000 miles an hour. That is amazing. Think about your body. Your body is a micro-universe. There are about 37 trillion cells, I'm told, inside of you. Not a million cells or a billion, but 37 trillion cells. That is amazing. And what about this? It's maybe the most amazing of all. How is it that a brown cow can eat green grass and yet produce white milk? That's amazing, too. But I want to talk to you a little bit about something amazing in the Bible. In Luke chapter 7, we are told about a centurion, a Roman soldier who commanded 100 troops. And we are told that in Romans chapter 7, Jesus was amazed by the man's great faith. And you know, there are only two places in the Gospels where Jesus is said to be amazed. And on one occasion, it's in Luke chapter 7, where he is amazed by a Roman soldier's faith. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus is amazed at the unbelief of God's people. Wow, only two places where Jesus is said to be amazed. On the one hand, amazed by a man's faith. On the other hand, amazed at people's lack of faith. You see, Jesus is amazed by faith and lack of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, once said, without an element of risk in our exploits for God, there's no need for faith. And he was right. Faith, by its very nature, involves risk. Now, not reckless risk, but getting out of the box as led by the Holy Spirit, daring to do some things differently, walking by faith rather than by sight. And the centurion in Luke chapter 7 was a man of great faith. He said to Jesus, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve for you to come under my roof, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion knew that all Jesus had to do was say the word, and his sick servant, a man he cared for, the centurion's servant would be made well. That harkens back to Psalm 107, verse 20, where we are told the Lord sent out his word and healed them. God has only to speak a word, and lives are healed. God has only to speak a word, and circumstances are changed. Lives are put in order. The power of God's word. And the centurion knew that the Lord only had to speak a word. And that is great faith. Then the centurion goes on to say, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus listened to all this and was amazed. That is because faith, like the centurion's, gets the Lord's attention. And Jesus marveled. He was amazed. Can I ask you today, how will you amaze the Lord with your faith? People of great faith in the Lord can accomplish great things, and God is truly pleased when we walk by faith rather than by sight. So let's learn from the soldier's faith and be more like that centurion who cause Jesus to be amazed. Be people who say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's not be a person who says, I can't do, but I can. Let's amaze the Lord by our faith.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
Listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.